Random House Audiobooks presents While I Was Gone by Sue Miller. Read for you by Blair Brown.
While I Was Gone. It's odd, I suppose, that when I think back over all that happened in that terrible time, one of my sharpest memories should be of some few moments the day before everything began. Seemingly unconnected to what followed, this memory is often one of the first things that comes to me when I call up those weeks, those months, the prelude, the long, beautiful, somber note I heard, but chose to disregard. This is it. The silence between us. The only sounds the noises of the boat, the squeal of the oarlocks when my husband pulled on the oars, the almost inaudible creak of the wooden seat with his slight motion, and then the glip and liquid swirl of the oars through the water, and the sound of the boat rushing forward. My husband's back was to me as I lay in the hard curve of the bow. He sat still a long time between each pull. The oars dripped and then slowly stopped dripping. Everything quieted. Sometimes he picked up his fishing rod and reeled it in a bit, pulling it one way or another. Sometimes he recast, standing high above me in the boat. It was a day in mid-fall, well after the turning of the leaves. The weather was glorious. We always took one day a week off together, and if the weather was good, we often went fishing. Or my husband went fishing, and I went along, usually with a book to read. Even when the girls were small and it was harder to arrange, we managed at least part of the day alone together. It was a Monday. The day off was always Monday, because Sunday was Daniel's busiest day at work and Saturday was mine. Monday was our day of rest. And what I recollect of that Monday, that fine fall day, is that for some long moments in the boat, I was suddenly aware of my state in a way we aren't often. That is, I was abruptly and most intensely, sharply aware of all the aspects of life surrounding me, and yet of feeling neither part of it nor truly separated from it. Somehow impartial, unattached, an observer, yet sentient of it all, deeply sentient, in fact, but to no apparent purpose. If I were trying to account for this feeling, I might say it had something to do with the way I was half lying, half sitting on several pillows in the bow, the way the curving walls of the old rowboat framed a foreground for my view as they rose away from me. I saw them, these peeling wooden inner walls, and then my husband's familiar shape. Above him there was the flat, milky blue sky. In the air above us, swallows darted, dark, quick silhouettes, and once a cedar waxwing moved smoothly through them. Layers of life above me. Below, I could hear the lap of the deep water through the walls of the boat. As a result, let's say, I felt suspended, waiting, between all these worlds, and part of none of them. But this isn't what I really believe. I think the sensation came from somewhere within me. We feel this sometimes in adolescence, too. Surely most of us can call it up. But then there's the burning impatience for the next thing to take shape, for whatever it is we are about to become and be to announce itself. This was different. There was, I supposed, no next thing. Now I stirred, shifted my weight. My husband turned. No aspect of his face not dear to me. Hurting? He asked. And with that, as quickly as it had come over me, the moment ended. I was back, solidly in time, exactly where we were. A little, I said. We'll head back. Are you sure? I've got two reasonable ones. I'm a happy man, he began to reel his line in. I turned and stretched. How nice to be a happy man, I said. He looked over his shoulder at me to get my tone. It is nice, he said. And I meant it, I answered. As we rode back, as we drove home, I found myself wanting to tell my husband about my feeling, but then not knowing what to call it. The shadow of it lingered with me, but I didn't say anything to Daniel. He would hear it as a want, a need. He would feel called upon to offer comfort. Daniel is a minister, a preacher, a pastor. His business is the care of his flock. His medium is words, thrilling words, admonishing or consoling words. I knew he could console me, but consolation wasn't what I felt I wanted. And so we drove along in silence, too, and I looked out the window at the back roads. We lived in the center of town, an old, old town. Adams Mills, the Adamses long dead, the mills long burned down. Our house was a simple square farmhouse, added on to repeatedly at the back of the first floor over the years, as was the custom then with these old New England homes. We had an unpainted barn behind it, and behind that was a small meadow which turned to pine woods at the far edge. We used the barn as a garage now, and Daniel had his study out there in a small heated room at the back. We turned into our drive and pulled up next to the horse chestnut that shaded the dooryard. It dropped its leaves early every year. They littered the yard now, and our feet made a crunching noise on them as we crossed to the back door. The nearly bare ancient branches, twisted blackly above us in the dusky light, made me think of winter. When we opened the door, the house was silent. Daniel began to put his gear away in the spare room off the hall, speaking loudly as he clattered around. "Boy, it sure is nice to have dogs. Dogs are so great, how they come running to greet you when you get home, how they make you feel like you count, even when you don't." When I came out a few minutes later, all three dogs had finally bestirred themselves from wherever they'd been nesting and were whacking their happy tails around the kitchen. Daniel was cleaning his fish at the sink, the smell already suffused the air, and there was hope of food for them. Nothing excited them more. They barely greeted me. The answering machine was blinking. I turned it on. There were three messages, all for Daniel, which was the way it usually went, except when I was on call. I'm a veterinarian, and the crises among animals, less complex, more manageable than those of humans, are actually very much a part of my choice of profession. Daniel had turned slightly from the counter to listen to the calls, and I watched his face as he took them in. One about relocating a confirmation class because of a scheduling conflict. One from Morty, his assistant pastor, reporting on the worsening state of a dying parishioner Daniel was very fond of, a young mother with cancer. One from another minister, suggesting he and Daniel try to pull something together among their colleagues about some racial incidents in the three closely adjoining towns around us. Daniel's face was thin and sharp and intelligent, his eyes a pale gray-blue, his skin white and taut. I'd always loved looking at him. He registered everything quickly, transparently, with these calls, first annoyance, then the sag of sorrow, then a nod of judicious agreement. But there was something finely self-contained about him, too. I'd often thought this was what made him so good at what he did, that he held on to some part of himself through everything, that he could hear three calls like this, and be utterly responsive to each of them, and then turn back and finish cleaning his trout, as he did now. "Will you go and visit Amy?" I asked. "I don't know," he said without looking at me. "I'll call Morty back and see when I'm done here." I refilled the dog's bowl with water and poured some dry food for them. Daniel worked silently at the sink, his thoughts elsewhere. I went out the front door and got the mail from the box at the road. The air was getting chilly. Darkness was gathering around the house. I turned on the living room lights and sat down. I sorted through the circulars, the bills. I threw away the junk. While I was working, I heard Daniel leave the kitchen, headed across the yard to his office in the barn to make his calls. With the closing of the door, I felt released from the awareness of his sorrow that had held me in his orbit. I began to roam the house, with the dogs as my entourage, feeling restless, a feeling that seemed connected somehow to that moment in the boat, and maybe also to...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?